Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
All right. Just making sure we're awake here. We might be needing another Bible study, it sounds like, but happy Sunday. Nice to see you all out here this morning. After a long day yesterday, it's a pleasure again to have you here. Tony wanted me to announce that there is a special gift in back. If you didn't receive one already, we have a very nice Amazing Facts pin for every single one of you. It has a highlighter on it, and it also has a, whatchamacallit? Yes, stylus, thank you. It also has a stylus on it, so it's a really nice pin. You might even be able to grab more than one if you want to share it with a friend. So just be sure to pick that up. All right, this morning we have a couple topics we are diving into. The first one being nurturing new believers. The second, Chuck is going to be doing an evangelism workshop, making it again very practical. Now that we've learned these things, how do we actually implement them starting today? And then our last class will be gaining decisions for Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but at least for myself, giving a Bible study, we can do that. We can manage. But then you reach the very end, and now you have to ask that person to make a decision. And suddenly your knees start shaking, right? What if they say no? How do you handle that? What do you do? Okay, have a nice life, and you get up and leave? How do you handle that rejection? So we're going to be looking at that in our last presentation for this morning. Before we begin, if you would just bow your heads with me for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father God, Lord, I just want to thank you this morning, Lord. I thank you for the beautiful weekend that we've had together, for the burden in our hearts to pray more and to seek your face. And Lord, I also just want to thank you for the group that is here today. Lord, I thank you for this taste of heaven, where we can all be seeking you together, Father. And we pray, Lord, as we learn this morning, may your Holy Spirit be present. May your word alone be spoken, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Before we dive into nurturing new believers, yesterday we talked about how to give a Bible study. But I want to back us up just one step. Before we can give a Bible study, we need to get a Bible study. How do I get Bible studies? How do I find people that are interested in studying the Bible? I would encourage you to first start internally. Sometimes when people start saying, hey, we want to reach people for Christ, we want to bring people to our evangelistic seminar, their first thought is, let me go knocking on doors. But that is cold door knocking. Those are people that maybe don't have an interest. Instead, start where you are at. Find people that already have a spiritual interest and then build on from there. So I would encourage you first, go to the church visitor list. Most churches have a guest book in their lobby. People come in, they put their little autograph on that book, they close the book, stick it in a drawer, and don't take it out until the next week. That is not the goal of the guest book. Instead, these are people that have a spiritual interest. They came to church. So every week, we should be following up the people that came to church. Drop by their home and say, hey, it was a pleasure having you at church. We wanted to give you this gift, and it's a loaf of bread or a small book. You might notice that they have children, so you're telling them about children's programs, adventure club, Pathfinder. Maybe they're interested in healthy living, so I'm telling them about the cooking classes. Just different ways to connect with them and show that you care. And then, of course, that often opens up into actually giving Bible studies as well. Secondarily, missing members. Remember, when Christ sent out his disciples, he sent them first to where? Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then the end of the world, the uttermost parts of the earth. In other words, they were to begin where they were, with the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and then move on from there. Yet how often in our evangelistic efforts, when you think of, oh, I want to be a missionary, you think of going to the uttermost parts of the earth. But do we first start in Jerusalem? We need to first start with the lost sheep of the house of Israel, reclaiming those missing members. So I would encourage you, again, meet with your pastor, meet with the elders, look over the church directory, who is a missing member. Sometimes we are terrified of following up with missing members. But time and time again, I've noticed that it is a very positive experience. You almost expect them to come out of their house with the guns blazing, right? Let me tell you all about your church and its problems. That's typically not what you encounter. It's just someone that got busy with life or maybe was discouraged with a situation. No one checked in on them, and they drifted away. So you coming to their house makes a huge difference in their lives. Valentine's Day is coming up. I remember a few years ago, my friends and I said, you know, Valentine's Day is all nice for couples and romantic and happy and chocolate and roses, but what about the elderly ladies in our church, for one reason or another, who are not married? What is Valentine's Day like for them sometimes? And so we decided that we wanted to take red roses, and we made some homemade cookies in the shape of a heart, and we got some cards, and we wrote just a little note to them. And we went to the homes of about 10 or 12 older ladies in our church, a few of whom were missing members. They had not been to church in a few years. And when we came back and we were sharing testimonies together, one of our group told us, you know, when we went to that missing member's house, she was so excited to have us come. And she said, you know, I've been thinking about coming back to church. And because you came to my house, I decided I'll be there this Sabbath. All we did was bring chocolate and a card and a rose to someone's house. And that little gesture, that little act of love, was enough to bring someone back into that relationship with Christ. So small, and yet such a huge impact. So again, consider, how can I reach out to missing members? Third, of course, the youth in the church. That is a very pivotal time in their life. Spouses or family of established members. So the church member, they're obviously coming to church. Their spouse is not a Christian or an Adventist. And then, of course, door-to-door outreach, such as glowing surveys, etc. Consider individuals who have gone through a previous series. I know that you had a prophecy seminar, was it a year ago? And then previously 2 years ago with Tyler Long? There are many individuals, I would presume, on that list that started to come to the seminar but then dropped off after 5 or 6 nights. That is the norm in a prophecy seminar. Follow up with those individuals. Why did they drop off? Did they have a question about a topic that was presented? And because it wasn't clear to them, they quit attending. Maybe it was family pressure. Maybe it was they had to work long hours and they just didn't have time during that period of their life. So find out why they quit coming. Again, reconnect with them. There was a spiritual interest. Reconnect with them. Media interests such as Amazing Facts. Your head elder or your pastor can call up Amazing Facts and say, hey, we want to have the free interest list from your Bible school. The Bible school will then email you a list of everyone in your community who has taken the Amazing Facts Bible Study Correspondence course. So you will receive a list of 10 to 30 people quite often who have begun Bible studies with Amazing Facts. So again, this is already a good spiritual interest. Then you can drop by their house and say, hi, I'm Carissa. I'm a local representative with Amazing Facts. And I hold up the study guide so they again can see, oh, I know what you're talking about. And we see you've been taking these lessons. I just wanted to ask you 2 questions. How have you been enjoying them? Do you have any questions? Very, very simple. And as I share those 2 things, they're excited. Wow, you're from Amazing Facts. I love these lessons. And they again feel very touched that you came to their house. And I'm trying to get to know them. And I'm using what tool to get to know them? Fort. Awesome. So I am then practicing Fort with them. And then I have an opportunity to say, hey, you know, we have an additional set of lessons on prophecy. I think you'll really enjoy them. What about coming by your house next Thursday, same time, and we can sit down for 30 minutes and check out these lessons together? Okay? So really easy to get those media interests. Just call again the Bible school, and they will send it to you for free. Summer canvassing programs. If you have a canvassing group, come through your church, and they do all the hard work for us. They've knocked on all those doors and faced all that rejection. And they get those lists of people that want Bible studies, they hand it off to the pastor, and they pray something happens with them. What a great opportunity for us to pick those up and follow up with them ourselves. But what about starting Bible studies with those in our circle of influence? Who should I invite to start Bible studies with me? I would encourage us, first and foremost, to pray. Ask God to reveal people in our life that we can reach for his kingdom. Secondarily, don't limit God. I don't know about you, but I know I've said this before about family members or friends. They will never become a Christian. Oh, Lord, you don't know my cousin. You don't know my... There is no way they would ever accept Christ. Have you thought this before? And we forget that Jesus could look at a demoniac and see a man who, when transformed by his grace, would be a missionary. God knows no limits. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Don't limit God. Is this true?
Amen.
Even again, our children, sometimes we might think, hey, they are too hard-hearted. They are never going to come back to the faith. Don't limit God. Have faith in what God can do.
Amen.
Lastly, consider when someone is going through the crisis of losing or gaining. As we all know, when someone goes through a crisis, they are more open to spiritual things. What is something someone could lose that would create a crisis?
A loved one,
a spouse. An animal, sure. A job, yes. What else? Child, a limb. Okay, they lose their health, their home. Absolutely, all these things could create a crisis in their life. But what about a crisis of gaining? We don't often think of gaining as a crisis, do we? But have you ever met those people before who say, you know, life is hard right now, but once I get this, then life will be perfect. Life is hard right now. I'm working really, really long hours. But once I retire, life will be a breeze. College is difficult. I hate the classes. It's so much work. But once I graduate from college, no more stress, no more worries. Life is hard. But, you know, once I get married, oh, it's always chocolate and roses and happy days. Right, and then they reach that point, whatever that dream, that goal was, and they find out, hey, I'm still not satisfied. Still not fulfilled. I thought that's what I needed, but it's still not enough. That is the crisis of gaining. I gained what I thought I needed, and I'm still not fulfilled. I'm still empty. So again, consider when someone is going through the crisis, either of losing or of gaining. Identify people Jesus may be calling you to reach and write them down. Why should we write them down?
We don't forget.
So we don't forget? Absolutely, definitely.
A to-do list.
A to-do list. Okay, so we remember to accomplish it.
Consistently pray for
them. Okay, we remember to consistently pray for them.
Yeah, that's good.
Good, absolutely. There's an accountability as well, isn't there? It's not just a fleeting thought. I wrote down their name, so I know I need to follow up with these individuals. Here are some ideas if you were talking with your friend. How do I offer a Bible study to them? You might say, you and I recently talked about our need to know God better. What would you say the idea of us getting together once a week to study the Bible? Think with me on a spiritual conversation you've had with your friend. Have you been talking about the chaos that's occurring in the Middle East? Terrorism here in the United States? And even politics and questions. Does the Bible have anything to say about what's happening in our world today? Whatever spiritual conversation you have had with them, tie it into this survey. What would you say to us getting together just once a week and seeing what the Bible has to say to these questions? Here's another idea to consider. I took this class on how to give Bible studies, and they gave us this set of Bible lessons. The first study answers the question, can we trust the Bible? I'm supposed to practice this study with someone. I thought you might be willing to help me out. It would only take about 30 minutes. Would you do me a favor and let me practice my study on you? What do you think? Do friends want to help you out?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Hey, I'm taking this class and I need to pass this class, and the only way for me to pass it is I have to give a Bible study to someone. Could I give a Bible study to you and you can give me some feedback on what you think I should improve on next time? Could you do me a favor? Help me out just 30 minutes. You think your friend might say yes? We were in Houston, Texas, and there was a woman that attended our Bible study seminar, and she learned again this survey, and she said, you know, my husband is Buddhist. I am going to go home, and I am going to say this survey and offer Bible studies to him. And so that very night, she did just that. The next morning, she came back, and she said, you will not believe it. My husband said yes. She's like, now what do I do? And of course, then we had a class on how to give Bible studies. But again, this works. We hear testimonies time and time and time again. We were at the GC, and a woman came up to us and said, hey, you remember this canvas you taught us? I met some lady at the grocery store. I told her this canvas, and you see this lady next to me? She was baptized. Time and again, it works. It works. Consider using this with your friends. All right, we're going to switch gears now and look especially at nurturing new believers. You see, not only is the church to be concerned about proclaiming the gospel, it's to be equally concerned about establishing new believers in the truth and ensuring that they are continually growing in their relationship with Christ. Again, someone comes into the faith and they're excited and they learn all these new things, and we say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, you're baptized, take your seat, and we move on to the next person. And we forget how important it is to truly disciple and to nurture. Imagine a woman who gives birth and comes home from the hospital and hands off the baby and says, hey, I already took care of that thing for 9 months, I'm done. Is that what the mom would do? No, I mean, truly, her work has just begun. The sleepless nights are just now coming her way, right? So you don't drop off the baby once it's born. And it's the same thing in evangelism. The baby has been born. Now is the time to nurture that child. Do babies sometimes make a mess? Do they sometimes stink? As they grow up, are there scraped knees because they keep falling? Absolutely. Absolutely, and it is the same thing with new believers. If we expect them to come into the church and not to make any waves and just be an easy, easy transition, we will probably be disappointed. We are all growing in our experience with Christ. And so like a babe, we need to be nurturing them in that walk with God. Conversion, like sanctification, is the work of a lifetime. The baptistry is not the end of the Christian's experience, but the beginning. It is essential that the church has a meaningful discipleship program in which all of the church members are encouraged and strengthened in the Christian walk. This discipleship program, this nurturing of new believers, do we need to create a plan for this before the prophecy seminar or after the prophecy seminar?
Before.
And yet, how often it's not until the prophecy seminar is over that we start scrambling. Oh, okay, now what are we going to do with these new people? We need to have a plan in place before the seminar even begins. How are we going to continue to train, to disciple, to nurture, and encourage the new believers that will come? Just a few key points on nurturing new believers. Before we have these new believers, we're going to compare this again to a garden. I need to prepare the ground. What could be this ground that needs preparation before the seed is planted?
Church.
Our church. We need a personal revival in our church, do we not?
Amen.
How often, you know, the Bible talks about in the seven churches how, I believe it was Ephesus that lost its first love. Mm-hmm. Am I right, Chuck? Ephesus lost its first love. And yet, how often in our own experience, especially if we've been raised as Adventists or sixth-generation Adventists, we've never even had that first love. Have you seen that before? it's been raised, Adam, this is what we've always known, and so we don't even have that first love experience. But I believe God is calling all of us to have that first love experience. To not let that fire go out. Our ground needs to have the nutrients. We need to be prepared. We need to have revival in our churches so that our arms are open wide when the children come. Secondarily, we need to be providing nutrients once that seed is planted. Okay, so we've had our prophecy seminar. We have the new believers. What type of nutrients do we need to provide to these new believers? What do they need in order to grow?
More opportunities for Bible study.
Good. They need more opportunities for Bible study. You see, for the past month, they have been coming to church 5 days a week, and they have been fed over and again, right? And now the seminar is over, and they think, I only go to church once a week. They are starving all week long unless we teach them how to study for themselves and provide other Bible study opportunities. What else?
Friendship.
Absolutely. They need to have that community of believers to nurture them. Again, we remember as we look at Acts 2, here are the new believers in the apostolic faith. And many of them had left mother, father, children, husband in order to become a Christian. And we see these new believers, they are breaking bread together daily. There is daily communion together. I no longer have my biological family. I need that spiritual family. And the same thing often happens with new believers. Often their family does not understand their decision for Christ. And so they feel like they're leaving their old family behind.